T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
You said in our meeting this morning, free agency starts mid-March. We'll know before then, you think.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right, last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're gonna let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now? So that's not the way that organization operates.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 4 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. You heard Adam Schefter there, and it's still the biggest storyline in the NFL. In fact, I find it funny that in a week leading up to the Super Bowl, where you have the Niners and the Chiefs getting ready to go, the Patriots are still a storyline. Jimmy Garoppolo was asked this week what he learned about Tom Brady, etc. The national media is having a real difficult time without the Patriots actually in the Super Bowl, that we're now resorting to, hey, Jimmy G, what did you learn from Tom Brady, et cetera. But that was Adam Schefter saying essentially what the Patriots don't want to happen this year is what happened to them last year with Rob Gronkowski. Because if you remember last year, Gronk decided to announce his retirement a little bit later, and he did it on Instagram, and it sort of blindsided the Patriots. And then they were left without having Jared Cook on the roster. Because remember, one of the things about Jared Cook, who had a phenomenal season in New Orleans, is it wasn't about the money to Jared Cook. Now, in some sense, it was about the money. But more importantly, in this particular scenario, it was about, can you guarantee me that I'm going to be the number one tight end? And because Gronk waited so long and delayed his retirement announcement, that cost the Patriots the opportunity essentially to sign Jared Cook. And basically, the Saints are sitting here saying, hey, you're going to be our number one guy no matter what. And again, you're thinking about, you're going to a historic offense in New Orleans with Drew Brees. I understand Drew Brees doesn't have the resume that Tom Brady has in terms of the Super Bowls, but he's got all the passing records, and he basically makes every tight end look good. Remember, Ben Watson had a really good season. We saw what he did this year. I get he's older, but nonetheless, if you look at it, every tight end plays well with Drew Brees. Going back to the days of Jimmy Graham, it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to wait until Gronk makes his announcement. I'm going to go play for New Orleans. So what Adam Schefter essentially is saying there is the Patriots don't want that same scenario to happen again, where they don't know what Tom Brady's doing, and then essentially they have to make a decision at the last minute, and they wind up with like one of the Andy Daltons of the world, which is one of the rumored guys, Marcus Mariota. I don't want any part of that guy. I don't want any part of Andy Dalton. So here's the question I have. What could Tom Brady do in this process and in his decision-making that would actually make you be pissed at Brady? What could Brady do at this point that would irritate you as a fan? 617-779-7937 is the number. So I look at this. If the Las Vegas Raiders, by the way, I believe they should just be the Vegas Raiders. It sounds better. Or the Los Angeles Chargers, or whoever the team that you want to throw out there, the Indianapolis Colts, which that would be a gut punch from a Patriots perspective. He goes to the team that Peyton Manning used to play for. I get the Patriots and the Colts don't exactly have a rivalry right now, but the whole thing with Deflategate and all the stuff with Manning over the years, that would just be tough if he actually went there. And it's actually not a bad place for him to land if he is looking for the best football situation, if you will. But whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Chargers, whoever, if one of those teams says to Tom Brady, hey, here's a 3-year contract, and we're going to give you 3 guaranteed years at whatever the number is, $28, $27, $30 million. Okay, we're setting you up here to give you that 3-year extension. And Bill Belichick and the Patriots come to the table with a 1-year offer, which all their recent behavior tells you that's the way they're going to go. He has the MVP season in 2017. He sets the record with 500 yards in the Super Bowl. They don't punt in the game that they lose. And Brady, after that particular season, says, yeah, Bill, the contract, I'd like it now. I'd like the extension. He doesn't get it. He gets all those fake incentives that he doesn't reach any of them. Remember, it's like be top 5 in completion percentage and touchdowns and yards and all this. Yards per attempt. He doesn't get any of them. So he doesn't get the additional money. Last year, hey, Bill, about that contract extension. I'd like it after they win the Super Bowl. He doesn't get the contract extension that ultimately Tom Brady believes that he deserves. Whether or not you agree with Bill or Tom, Brady believes that he should get that contract, and he doesn't get it. So now, what makes you think that all of a sudden Bill is going to be like, hey, you know what, at the age of 43, this is when I give him the extension? So all indications are Bill isn't going to give him that long-term extension. And I say long, not really that long, but 2 to 3 years, which Brady is looking for to play till his 45-year-old season. But if you look at it, it doesn't look like that's in Bill's behavior. So if that is the case, if the Raiders, the Chargers, whoever offers Brady a 3-year contract extension, and Bill Belichick will not do it, and he'll only give Tom Brady a 1-year contract extension. As a fan of the team, I don't think you can hold that against Tom Brady for leaving, because essentially he's told you that he wants that extension. And also the fact that for years, Tom Brady has taken less money, less money, less money. Now, there's been years where he's got a whole lot of money, but the point being, there's been a lot of years in his time here in New England where he's taken below market value. So if Tom Brady wants to go play for another team for the final 3 seasons of his career and be guaranteed those 3 seasons, I can't hold it against him. In fact, I could completely understand where Tom Brady's coming from if Bill Belichick's only going to give him a 1-year extension and some other teams offer him a 3-year extension. So in that scenario, I would not be mad at Tom Brady whatsoever. If you're a fan of the team, I don't think you could argue that you would be mad at Tom Brady for leaving in that instance. The one way I think that Brady could irritate the fan base and that the fan base could actually do a turn on Brady, and most people would blame the organization for letting him go in the first scenario, but secondary, and they would take some heat for it, obviously. But secondarily, the situation I believe that would have most Patriots irritated, most Patriots fans, I should say, irritated, is if Brady signs a 1-year contract with another team. That would be the thing that would piss people off. So if he just says, you know what, I'm going to the Raiders for a year. I'm only signing a 1-year deal. I'm going to the Chargers for a 1-year deal, which, again, I don't see Brady doing, because isn't the point of fighting for the right to be a free agent so that he could go to a different team and he could actually sign that long-term deal? That seems like that was what Brady was fighting for this entire time, was that he wanted to be able to go out there and say, hey, here's a 4-year contract, Bill, or here's a 2 to 3-year contract, Bill, match this. He wanted that leverage, right? So if he just signs a 1-year contract with another team, I believe that that's the one thing Brady could do that would actually irritate the fan base and that the fan base could actually turn on Tom Brady. Other than that, I don't see what he could do this particular offseason with the contract and his free agency, if you will, that could actually put him in a bad light in terms of where the fans are at. The number 617-779-7937. What would piss you off? What could Brady do to irritate you this offseason? Now, I also wanted to get into this because this is the first time I can remember where I'm actually legitimately worried about the future of this organization, because there were some, I don't even want to say rough years for Patriots fans, right? So if you go back to, say, like 2009, remember, that's the year that Belichick did the documentary with NFL Films, and he famously said to Brady in it, I can't get these guys to play the way I want them to play. Remember that season 09 after the Brady injury, the defense was horrible. And really, from about 09 to 13, the defense was terrible until 14 when Revis came in, et cetera, the hired gun for a year. But if you go back to 2009, they have that ugly loss to the Ravens in the postseason, wild card weekend. Ironically, the last time they played on wild card weekend up until this year. So that was the last time they felt, I don't know, are things going to turn around? And then you looked at Brady. It's like he's 32. He's averaging 274 yards per game. He was completing 66% of his passes. They're fine. They just need to make a couple of moves. And they were. The couple of years later, they drafted tight ends, et cetera. We know what happened from there. They win 3 Super Bowls the next decade. But this now, even like 2015, you had a little issue with the offensive line, but Scarnecchia comes out of retirement. You're like, this is going to be fine. And even in 15, they make it to the AFC Championship game. But now, of course, you have the possibility of Brady leaving the organization, and you don't exactly know who's going to replace him if he is to leave. Are you going to get a bridge guy? Is Stidham ready to go? So there's that aspect, of course, with the quarterback situation. But even if Brady decides to stay, so if Belichick and Brady work things out and Brady's here for the 2020 season, aren't you still concerned about where this team's going to be at in terms of the AFC hierarchy? Because you look at Brady last year, the numbers weren't great. We all know them. 7th in yards per game, 13th in touchdowns, 19th in rating, and 18th in interceptions. He had 8 interceptions on the season. You look at the offense in general, yards per play, 23rd in the NFL. Behind the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew, the Lions with David Blau, and the horrible Browns, the Raiders, etc. Red zone offense, 26th in the NFL. They converted red zone trips into touchdowns just 49% of the time. If you were wondering, last year they were at 62%. Rushing yards per game, 18th in the league. Okay, and it wasn't like they weren't trying. They attempted the 10th most rushing attempts in the league last year. Okay, now you also look at the fact 3.8 yards per rush, that's 25th in the NFL. And we all know about the Sony Michel drop off from 3.7 yards per game, or I should say, he was at 3.7 yards per rush this year, which was 40th in the NFL. So even if you're going to look at it and say, you know what, Brady's not the issue. Brady has not shown any sign of decline. It's more so he didn't have the offensive line at the beginning of the season, and we can go through the weapons, and obviously he didn't have the weapons. Even if that's the case, how is this going to get better next season? Obviously, at this point, Brady needs more help. And if you look at what this team has right now, Julian Edelman, okay, 69 receiving yards per game last year, outstanding season. But again, he's going to turn 34. He's been banged up throughout his whole entire past 2 years, if you will. And not to mention the fact that Edelman is a player that was the only guy that was a consistent, productive receiver this year. You look at the rest of the guys, and I get James White out of the backfield. He's your second leading receiver as a running back. After that, Philip Dorsett, 28 yards per game. By the way, he's a free agent. And by the way, didn't show up in the Titans game. One catch, 6 yards. Jacoby Myers, and I understand, undrafted free agent. He didn't give you much this year. Playoffs, nothing, not part of the game plan. N'Keal Harry, your first round pick, 15 yards per game. He was limited, we all know, with the injury. But playoffs, one catch for 7 yards. Mohamed Sanu, second round pick, 25 yards per game. And by the way, this whole Mohamed Sanu thing, I understand that he was dealing with a little bit of an injury, but how come Kyle Shanahan, who coached him in Atlanta, and John Lynch, who of course is the GM of the Niners, now how come Kyle Shanahan wasn't identifying Mohamed Sanu as the receiver he wanted at the trading deadline? No, they wanted Emmanuel Sanders, the significantly better player, and the Patriots were the ones that were willing to give up the second round pick for Mohamed Sanu that gave them literally no production. Oh, great, he had 10 catches for 81 yards against the Ravens. Okay, he had one good game. That's it, one good game. Okay, I don't want to hear about the ankle. He's out on the field for the majority of the time he's here. He misses a game. Other than that, he's out there. So I don't want to look at it as, oh, let's give this guy an excuse because of the injuries. But I point that out to look at the guys that you have coming back. Dorsett's a free agent. And by the way, I don't care if he leaves. He's not that good. You have Jacoby Myers, an undrafted free agent that's slow. N'Keal Harry, your first-round pick, who's slow. And Mohamed Sanu, who's slow. You have all slow receivers and a 34-year-old slot receiver in Julian Edelman. Not to mention you have nothing at the tight end position. Ben Watson is going to retire. You would think he's 38 years old. He did not play well this year. Okay? You got nothing from Matt LaCoste. So if you look at the tight end position, there's nothing there. There is nothing there. You went from having for a decade like the best tight end of the NFL to nothing this season. So then you say, okay, are they going to fix this thing in free agency? Well, over the past couple of years, Belichick hasn't been exactly great at addressing the weapons on the team. The Josh Gordon experiment was a failure. There's no other way to say it. That was a complete failure for the Patriots, this whole experience with Josh Gordon. They saw, okay, let's go bargain basement shopping because this guy's not going to cost us a lot because of the fact he's had all these issues off the field. And what happens? Last year, he couldn't stay on the field. And then this year, you got to get rid of the guy. And eventually, he's suspended as a member of the Seattle Seahawks. So that was a failed experiment. The Antonio Brown thing, failed experiment. And you couldn't see that from the beginning. I get there wasn't a whole lot of risk because you could cut him, which the Patriots ultimately did. But this is a guy that was threatening to punch the GM of the team, Mike Mayock, in Oakland. Like, you couldn't see that this guy was combustible. So when you look at it and you start to think, okay, well, what are the other ways they tried to upgrade this team? The guys they went out and they tried to sign last year in free agency. Maurice Harris, who's that guy? Never made the team. Dontrell Inman, he's been on like two teams since he decided he asked the Patriots to be cut. Demaryius Thomas, they got rid of him because of Antonio Brown. Not that he did much for the Jets, but the point being, over the past couple of years, it's not as if Belichick has added a lot to this receiving core that has been put out there to actually help Tom Brady and help the offense perform at a relatively high level. So why should I be convinced that this offseason is going to be different? And all of a sudden, when Brady's skill set is at least diminishing, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but his skill set is diminishing. There was a lot of throws this year that Brady in other seasons has made that he missed. So when I look at that, when he needs more help, why should I buy into the fact, and I understand Belichick's been the greatest coach in the history of the sport, but why should I believe that he's going to fix what's wrong with the offense? He's been trying to fix it all last year, and he didn't fix it. This problem has gone back 2 years, too. Remember, a couple of years ago, he couldn't get the weapons that ultimately he wanted. Now, the Patriots win the Super Bowl because they morph into this run-heavy football team. But outside of Edelman and outside of Rob Gronkowski, it's not as if you had a whole lot in the passing game. So you start to think about some of the guys that are going to become available. The A.J. Greens of the world, who's coming off a foot injury. Amari Cooper, Dallas isn't letting him go. So it's not like there's this star wide receiver that all of a sudden is going to wind up in Tom Brady's lap, and he's going to have a guy that he can build around, and that's going to be basically the thing that keeps Tom Brady with the Patriots, especially considering even if you could get a guy like A.J. Green, he's coming off an injury where he didn't play the entirety of the 2019 season. And if you're A.J. Green at this point, it used to always be like, yeah, I'll join the Patriots because I'm at the end of my career and I have an opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl. Are we so sure that this Patriots team, with the lack of weapons outside of Julian Edelman right now, are we so sure that that's the best avenue for some of these veteran players to go? What if Seattle calls and say, hey, we got some money. You got DK Metcalf to play with, Tyler Lockett, and hey, here is Russell Wilson. What if these other contenders around the league call up an A.J. Green? What if San Francisco after this year is like, you know what, we could use another number one receiver. Let's go after a guy like A.J. Green. Emmanuel Sanders, remember, is a free agent after this season. So it's other years where the Patriots have been like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll take less money to go there because I'm going to have a chance to play in the AFC Championship game. I just don't see it as the same way anymore with this Patriots roster and the way that they've put together an offensive game plan, if you will. And then the other thing I'd say is this. So there's a lot of tight ends out there when you look at the Eiferts of the world. He's always hurt. Maybe a guy like Austin Hooper, he'd certainly help. Anything you brought in here at the tight end position is going to be better than last year, no doubt about it. Eric Ebron had like one good season in Indianapolis. In Detroit, he wasn't good whatsoever, and he was considered at that point to be a bust. I mean, people in Detroit talked about him as the guy that they selected instead of Odell Beckham Jr. or Aaron Donald. That guy was a complete bust, and he had one good season with Andrew Luck. And heck, with Brady, maybe he gets his career back on track and in the Patriots offense. So I just don't see where this team is going from here in terms of what they have on the offensive side of the football. So if you're going to say that Brady wasn't the issue last year, right, you have to point to the fact that the offensive line was basically a mess for the majority of the season until Isaiah Wynn got back, and it still wasn't great. And then the lack of weapons. Okay, so if that's the case, you need to upgrade at the weapons and basically get a better offensive line or at least upgrade in certain areas. Well, in that particular scenario, do you expect that to happen to the point where the Patriots are competing for Super Bowls again? So, and then if you say, well, Brady's fading, he isn't great anymore, who are you going to replace him with? That's the question I would have. If you're going to look at this and say, Brady's fading, don't give him a contract, who are you replacing him with? It isn't as easy as it was a couple of years ago where you had Jimmy Garoppolo waiting. So who knows where Jarrett Stidham's at? Only the Patriots know that. Only the Patriots know if he's going to be a consistent starter for the next decade or so. Only the Patriots know that. But again, he's a third-round pick. There's probably a reason he didn't go in the first two rounds, and there's a reason he was available for the Patriots in the third round. So you're thinking about, okay, do we get this bridge quarterback before we continue to develop Stidham? So who are you looking at? The Andy Daltons of the world, the Marcus Mariotas of the world, the Blake Bortles of the world, and maybe if Brady ends up going to the Raiders in this hypothetical, the Derek Carrs of the world. So what is that going to do for this team? We just saw Tom Brady could not have a consistent offense with the lack of weapons that he had last year and the lack of a running game he had last year. So why would anybody think that just because the Patriots can go out there this free, or the Patriots in this offseason, if they decide to go with a journeyman quarterback, a veteran quarterback that is on the market for a reason, like Bortles is on the market for a reason, Mariota's on the market for a reason, he lost his job to Tannehill, Dalton's on the market for a reason because the Bengals are going to draft Joe Burrow, and Dalton, oh, by the way, has never won a playoff game in his NFL career and is like the definition of a mediocre quarterback. So why should any of us believe that if the Patriots bring in one of these bridge guys that they're actually going to be a successful football team next season? I just don't see it that way. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, couldn't make this a competent offense all season long. This offense was a disaster, really, ever since Antonio Brown played one game. After that, this offense never got back to what we thought it maybe could be at the beginning of the season. The running game never developed. The weapons never developed. So when I look at it from that perspective, what would give anybody the indication that if you have a bridge quarterback in here, that this is going to be a good Patriots team next year? Not to mention the fact you got free agents on the defensive side of the football. I just don't see the quick fix for the Patriots. So when you look at all this, the best possible solution for the Patriots is Brady on a one-year contract. But the problem for the Patriots is this. Tom Brady is going to have other suitors. Other teams are going to come calling for Tom Brady. Think about it from a Raiders aspect. Moving into a new stadium, trying to bring hype to that place. The Chargers, they can't sell tickets. Tom Brady would at least help with that. Indianapolis, if they could get a shot at Tom Brady, they've already admitted that they don't know if Jacoby Brissett is the guy long-term. The general manager of the team said that. So if they could say, hey, yeah, Tom, you want to come in for a couple of years and then we'll get a quarterback because they feel like they have a ready-made team right now, that's a better situation for Tom Brady in terms of if he wants to have a long-term extension, because the Patriots, we've seen, They may only want to give this guy a one-year deal. So that's the issue that the Patriots are going to have when it comes to Brady and this whole argument with the contract is he is going to have other opportunities to play in different locations. And if he leaves, you don't really have a solution at this point in time. And secondarily, you don't have the team around Tom Brady to help elevate a mediocre average quarterback. The greatest quarterback of all time couldn't make this offense move. What do you think an average level quarterback, a mediocre quarterback, is going to do in this offense? And if you think, oh, maybe they can upgrade, I'm looking at it. You really think the Patriots are going to make significant upgrades to the offense? You really think they're going to be able to land a big name free agent? And secondarily, you think they're going to draft well? We've seen what they do with receivers. We've seen all these guys after N'Keal Harry, the Deebo Samuels of the world, the Darius Slaytons of the world, but the Giants, who was way better than N'Keal Harry. We saw what A.J. Brown did this season. So why should we expect that they're going to fix this in the draft? And oh, by the way, if they wanted to address that in the second round, they can't do it. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. A couple of things on the table. What would irritate you about Tom Brady this free agency? Is there anything he could do to piss you off? And also, what do the Patriots need to do this offseason? The number 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, it's going to go, you know, however he wants, I think. He's ultimate competitor. I think as his kids get older, Vivi, Jack, and Benny, he wants to spend time with his family. I think that's going to weigh heavily on his decision and where he goes, and he can set that up the way he wants. And but his competitive nature, his ability is still through the roof, and whatever team gets him, if he stays in New England or if he goes somewhere else, that he's going to bring a high level of football there. So
people talking about maybe the Chargers. He sort of likes Southern California. Can you see that as a potential landing spot?
It's hard for me to see him in any other jersey than a Patriots jersey. So I'm holding on just like everybody else.
I think we all feel that way.
All right, that was Danny Amendola. He was on ESPN a lot this week talking with David Lloyd of SportsCenter. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. The number 617-779-7937. What do you want to see the Patriots do with Tom Brady, and what could Brady do to you this offseason? Or what could Brady do that would piss you off? 617-779-7937. By the way, I'm glad that David Lloyd asked him the follow-up question about whether or not he could see him in a Chargers uniform. And he says, I can only see him in the Patriots uniform, because before that, he gave him nothing. Hey, you think Tom Brady could leave? Well, he's going to want to be somewhere where he can be part of his kid's life. And wherever he goes, he's going to play at a high level. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for nothing. Why don't you talk about something else? You just gave us nothing. You gave us nothing whatsoever. So good for him for asking the follow-up question. The only thing Danny Amendola was there for this week was to talk about Brady, and he gave you nothing. And then, of course, he was part of the tongue-bathing from ESPN this week, that the tongue-bathing for Eli Manning. I mean, what a joke that was. You would have thought that Eli Manning was like Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or Joe Montana. My word. The amount of people that had to talk about Eli Manning this week was absolutely ridiculous to me. The guy should have been benched like 4 years ago. Ben McAdoo actually got it right to bench him. The problem for McAdoo is he put in Geno Smith, who had already flamed out with the Jets. The fan base was familiar with him. If they put in the young guy who was there at the time, Kyle Uletta, and look, he turned out to be nothing, he could have got away with it. But the fact that he decided to put Geno Smith in, that's what caused Ben McAdoo his job. And then the other portion of that is Eli Manning had this long streak of games played. That's one of the things we're pointing out for Eli's career. Oh, look how many games he played in a row. Yeah, well, he sucked in the majority of them. He was 117 and 117. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Bill. He's in Framingham today. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, Brian. How you doing? I want to see Tom Brady's one of my greatest athletes ever. But I want to see him go to another team with some weapons and prove that he still has it. Because I don't care if Vince Lombardi and Bill Belichick coach this upcoming Patriot team, they are going to be putrid. They don't have anybody on that team. They have no, it doesn't seem like they have any desire to go out and get star quality players. So if Brady has to come back with the same bunch of, they're not bums, but the same bunch of average players, minus a few, because they won't be able to sign some, I just think it's a recipe for disaster for this team, and I don't want to see him
so
go
Bill,
out
you're,
that way.
Bill, so your overall point is you're on Team Brady here. You feel bad for Brady with the amount of people they put around him, and you're saying, hey, I'd like to see Brady in maybe a Raiders or a Chargers uniform, so Brady has a chance to go out on a high note rather than you think if he stays here, it's going to be ugly.
Absolutely. I think he still can play a high-level quarterback with some players. He had nobody this year.
I agree.
And like I said, I just think it's awful the way he's been treated here in New England. I just think...
What do you mean by here? Bill, hold on. So when you say he's been treated awful here in New England, do you mean by Belichick? Do you mean by Kraft? You don't mean by fans.
No. Not the fans. The fans love him. I think by Belichick.
By Belichick.
I think there's so many times they could have got good players and made it. And, you know, if I was in the war room when Brady was the last few years, I would have been there. Okay, listen, who do we need to make Tom Brady the best quarterback in football? What players are out there? What kind of a dynamic offense can we have? And they didn't do anything. He played a whole year without a tight end, not a professional tight end.
It's a great point, Bill, and I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. It's a great point, and one of Brady's best throws over the past decade has been that seam route, Rob Gronkowski right down the middle of the field, and basically one of his best throws was taken out of the equation. He couldn't make that throw anymore, but I understand where he's coming from in the sense that Brady's in a place where he thinks about, and I get he got a bump in pay this year, but there's been so many years where he's taken less money, and Brady, he's saying what Brady wants is to have better teammates around him, to have better players around him, and I can understand that element. The one thing I will say to defend Belichick in this aspect, and I'm not really defending him, I'm actually like half defending him, he tried, he just failed. That's the bottom line. He tried, but he failed. He traded for Mohamed Sanu, he went after Antonio Brown, he drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round. He tried. He tried to upgrade the receiving core, but the reality is that Bill Belichick, the general manager, Bill Belichick, the executive this offseason, he fails. He gets an F. He failed in this particular offseason. There has been other years where he's hit it out of the park, right? Where he's drafted Rob Gronkowski and where he's drafted Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower in the same draft. In 2014, he gets Darrelle Revis before the season. So he's had great offseasons. This year, he failed. So I don't think it was one of these things where Belichick was not trying to put the proper weapons around Brady. I just believe he misevaluated players and he failed. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Peter in the Cape. What's up, Peter?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Listen, before I get into what I told the kid there, I want to say one thing. Why didn't Bill and Pratt give Gronk the money to get on the field this year? Why did they play the cat and mouse game, and why didn't they pay him? If they paid him, we have a whole different season. So well, why didn't they pay him?
Well, it's interesting, Peter, because I think that was more about Rob Gronkowski just being sick and tired of playing in the NFL. But to your point, hold on a second, to your point, to your original point, some of it is the way they've treated Gronk over the years. Because remember, Gronk a couple of years ago wanted a contract extension, wanted a bump in pay, and what did Belichick do? Belichick said, I'm going to trade you to the Detroit Lions, and that deal was basically done. And Gronk said, hey, if you trade me there, I'm retiring. So basically he put an end to the trade, but Gronk didn't get the money ultimately he wanted. And I have to imagine that Gronk going through that process year after year where he felt underpaid. In fact, his brother came on WEI and just and said last year that he wanted to be paid exactly what he deserved, and he didn't feel like he was getting that. That's part of why that relationship went that way. So I agree with that point. But last year, I feel like Gronk just thought, like, enough's enough, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I think he would have played if they gave him the money. I know he would have played. That's
how
all
you
he
know,
wanted.
How do you know that, though? How do you know that, though? But, Peter, he's talking about the year before how he wants to retire. Remember, they asked him about it after the Super Bowl previous.
I think that, he was just like Brady's
Peter,
right now. He did the same thing.
Yeah, but, Peter, did you see, like, when he did that speech for the CBD company he's representing where he's nearly crying because of all the pain he's been in? So I believe that was more so about Gronk wanted to put an end to it. Now, back in the day, he wanted a contract extension.
Right. Well, you know, that's very possible, too. And one other thing. I don't think there's anything Brady could do to any New Englander that would have us turn on him.
All right, Peter, let me ask you this hypothetical then. What if Brady signed a one-year deal with the Raiders and the Patriots offered him a one-year deal as the same money? That wouldn't irritate you?
No, not at all, because I think he's going to be getting more respect where he wants to go. He knows it. He absolutely knows. That's why. That's my original question. Where do you put your loyalties? Is it with Tom, or do you stay with New England, the team?
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Peter. I don't understand that last question. I'm just saying the only hypothetical I could see Patriots fans getting irritated with is if Brady decides to sign a one-year contract with another team. Because we can understand rationally why somebody would want a three-year contract extension, considering the guy's been saying for years he wants to play till he's 45. In fact, Alex Guerrero came on the station a couple of months ago, and he said maybe even 47 now. So we know that Brady wants to play for an extended period of time, and I can totally understand why Brady would want that security where he knows, okay, I'm finishing my career in this destination. I have the guaranteed money. I have the contract. I can totally understand that. But for Brady to go to a different place and just sign a one-year contract, and if the Patriots do offer him the one-year contract, it's different if they can't come to an agreement. But if the Patriots offer him a one-year deal and it's similar money to what, say, the Raiders, the Chargers, whoever the team may be, offers him a one-year contract as well, that would irritate me if Brady went to a different team for that reason. If it's for extended period of time, for 3 years, for two, I understand it. But if it's for 1 year, that would irritate me. Let's get to Eric in the car. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, how you doing there?
Good.
Good. I got to tell you, man, I'm done with Brady.
You're done with
him? I got a couple. I'm done. You know, it's time to move on. What happened to the man who's your favorite receiver? The open one. I don't see that. I hear reports on your station and other places that he's not trusting these receivers. Maybe if he showed up for some of those OTAs, he'd be able to build some trust.
Okay, Eric, but remember, the year before he didn't go to OTAs and they won the Super Bowl.
Right. Yes, because they had a running game, as you said.
Sure.
So, I mean, maybe now with, you know.
So, Eric, let me ask you this. Eric, you're looking at, so the lack of development and the lack of impact that guys like N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers had this season, you're putting some of that on Brady.
Some of that, yes. Yep, some of it goes, some of that blame pie goes to Brady. Some of it goes to spending, you know, that pick on Harry. You can't help. I mean, you can't help injuries, but yeah.
Okay, so Eric. Eric, so let me ask you this. You said you're done with Brady. So if Belichick gets Brady to agree to a one-year contract extension, you rather the team get rid of Brady than him signing that one-year contract with the Patriots and going with, like, who knows, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, or maybe even Jarrett Stidham. You rather that than Brady on a one-year deal.
How much are you paying him? Is he willing to take money so that we can start to fill up some of these holes on the offensive line with all the defensive free agents that are coming due? You know, I mean, if you're going to pay Brady the money that he wants, then he's going to be in the same situation.
Okay, so you rather have,
not going to have the weapons.
You rather have Andy Dalton and more salary cap space than Brady and less salary cap space.
100%. 100%, because I don't think we're winning with Brady next year. I don't think we're winning with Dalton next year.
So you're saying, your thing is this is a gap year anyway. It's like a college kid that has rich parents and he takes a year off. He goes, travels the world or whatever, and then he comes back in, say, 2021, and then he's competitive again, or then he goes back to school, whatever.
Kind of like what the Red Sox are going to do this year, right?
Oh, yeah, that may be more than a gap. I appreciate the call, Eric. Yeah, that one may be more than one gap year, the way this thing's going for the Red Sox. And we can get into the Mookie Betts situation, but what an embarrassing situation for the Red Sox this offseason. Hey, good thing we got the Patriots, because that's more entertaining than what's going on with the Red Sox right now. But my whole thing is, if you can get Brady on a one-year contract, I don't believe there's another quarterback out there that's better for 1 year than Tom Brady, in terms of what you have. I'm not saying take any quarterback in the league. I'm talking about the available free agents and what the Patriots have this season. I don't think there's a better situation than Tom Brady, realistically, on a one-year deal. I don't see another quarterback out there where I'm saying, yeah, that guy's better than Tom Brady for a year. Because the ultimate thing here is you're building a bridge, right, to the next quarterback, whoever that may be, whether it's Stidham, whether it's somebody that is playing in college right now, whether it's somebody you draft this year, whoever it is, you're building a bridge to the next quarterback. And from my perspective, the best guy to play next year would be Tom Brady, not Andy Dalton, not whoever it is, Marcus Mariota, who's been a failure with the Titans. You're not getting Ryan Tannehill, because if you're Tennessee, you're just going to franchise Ryan Tannehill to make sure what he did last year was real, and maybe after that you give him extension. I just don't see. This isn't just like any other position where you're like, yeah, we'll get rid of that tackle, that receiver, that running back, and bring in that guy. You can't do that with Tom Brady at the quarterback position. So if Tom Brady can't figure this offense out, I don't expect another quarterback to come in here and be able to figure it out next year. And the other concern I have, even with Brady, do you see this team as a legitimate Super Bowl contender next year? Do you expect that Bill Belichick's going to upgrade this team enough? Because last year, when he tried to upgrade the offense, and like I said, it wasn't like there was a lack of effort from Belichick's standpoint. He just missed. He missed on Mohamed Sanu. He missed on N'Keal Harry. All these guys he brought in free agency, Maurice Harris, Dontrell Inman, they all failed. So he missed. It wasn't like he didn't try. He just missed. And can he make up for that this offseason? I just don't see it happening where you come back next year and you feel comfortable with the weapons. And then again, is Sony Michel going to bounce back and look more like the running back he did in his rookie season and the postseason? That's another question you have to ask yourself. All right, a lot more to get into, including Jay Glazer had a report about why Tom Brady may actually join the Raiders. A lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board here, what could Brady do this offseason that would irritate you, that would piss you off, and what do you want the Patriots to do this offseason? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
WEEI at night. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what?
His opinion of the fight.
Oh, how would you not like the fight? I thought when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right, so I don't know. No idea what I'm talking about, but yeah, he liked the fight.
All right, so that was Dana White last week after UFC's biggest event of the year so far. I get we're early in the year, but basically the biggest event for UFC in a couple of years because they finally got Conor McGregor back into the octagon. But after the fight, Dana White is talking about Tom Brady. That's how big this story is, not just here locally, but nationally, to the point where after a massive UFC fight, you're talking about Tom Brady because he was seen talking to Mark Davis. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. What would irritate you? What is something Tom Brady could do this offseason that would irritate you? What do you want to see the Patriots do this offseason? Do you want them to sign Brady long term, short term, whatever the case may be? The other thing I wanted to get to is this report from Jay Glazer with the Raiders situation. So Jay Glazer said, and he did his mailbag on The Athletic every week. He said, I said it last week, the Chargers are the Raiders in terms of where Brady could go. I spoke about the business side of things. You guys kind of jumped on me talking about how great ticket sales are for the Raiders. I don't know if I said ticket sales or not, but there's way more than ticket sales when you're building up a business. They can use Tom Brady to build the business of the Raiders, which will now be an international team. I say that because of all the big business whales from all over the world who are going to come to Las Vegas and now be exposed to the Raiders. That's going to be a hot ticket. The international marketing will be huge. The Raiders are going to be big players internationally with that. That's why I would think it's a brilliant move to move to Las Vegas. Certainly, if I were the Chargers, I would just open up my checkbook and say, hey, Tom, fill in the commas you need, end quote. Okay, so that goes to the point I was making earlier. They're going to be suitors for Tom Brady, even for an extension, but more particular with the Raiders. Think about what Jay Glazer's reporting. You can model this as an international franchise. People coming in to do business, it'll be a hot ticket to go see the Raiders play football. That is something that could be enticing for Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, you want to help grow your brand? He's already got the huge marketing stuff here locally in terms of the TB12 stuff, but now you can go to a different part of the country and try to build up your brand more. And oh, by the way, we're willing to give you a 3-year contract extension. And think about it from the Raiders angle on this. Mark Davis is somebody who has been looking for star power, right? He goes after John Gruden. What is John Gruden? He is a massive star in the NFL because of what he did with Monday Night Football. He gives him a 10-year contract, okay, worth like $100 million. You don't think he'd do a similar thing to get the guy that is considered to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport? This is right up Mark Davis's alley. This is what his father, Al Davis, used to do. So if you don't think that Mark Davis is going to be willing to offer Tom Brady a contract extension, you're kidding yourself. You got to be absolutely crazy. Mark Davis will definitely do this. And then secondarily, look at the head coach of the team, John Gruden. Okay, so when he was with the Raiders originally, they developed Rich Gannon into an MVP player. And then he goes to Tampa Bay after he's fired. And think about what happened in Tampa Bay. So he had his guy with the Raiders and Rich Gannon. But then he goes to Tampa Bay. He's basically going through quarterbacks left and right. At the beginning, they had Brad Johnson. They won the Super Bowl. Then it's guys like Chris Sims was in there. It was a disaster for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in terms of the quarterback position. At one point, they had Jeff Garcia. They're just going through quarterbacks left and right. So if you look at John Gruden, look at his quarterback this season. Derek Carr didn't exactly have a great year. I get the completion percentage was high at 70%, but he's not somebody that throws the football down the field. He's not somebody that you look at and you say, you know what? The Raiders are going to win games because of Derek Carr. He's never going to be that guy. And if John Gruden, who is obsessed with quarterbacks, and with Tampa, he's always had like 3 quarterbacks on the roster. He was always flipping through quarterbacks. If John Gruden sits there and he sees this as, well, hold on, I can get Tom Brady. So now I get a quarterback that I want, and he can run my offense and we can be a contender. Okay, yeah, I'll take Tom Brady. So you could get the coach to do it because he loves quarterbacks and obviously he's going to love Brady. And the owner, this is something that he wants to do. He's already creating a splash by moving to Vegas in this big stadium. This would be another thing to market. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're coming to Vegas and yeah, we have the greatest quarterback, the greatest player in the history of the sport, and one of the most popular coaches in the sport. It just seems like this is a match that Mark Davis would want to happen. And by the way, Derek Carr has not performed at a significantly high level. This is something that you could see that John Gruden would want to have happen as well. Obviously, even with the drop-off last year from Tom Brady, or I should say this past season, he's still a significantly better player than is Derek Carr. And also look at from Brady's angle. Okay, Darren Waller, really good tight end. Hunter Renfrow can develop as a rookie receiver, but showed more than N'Keal Harry. Josh Jacobs emerged as one of the better running backs in the NFL as a rookie, and they have about, according to overthecap.com, about $57 million in salary cap space. So, hey, Tom, you want to recruit for us too? Want to see, call up that A.J. Green guy? Want to call up some of these tight ends? Maybe a Hunter Henry? Somebody along those lines to try to bring into the organization? So that's the thing that the Raiders could sell to Tom Brady. We'll give you a 3-year deal. We'll give you the money you want. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go after some free agency. And on that, oh, yeah, and by the way, we can help you expand your TB12 brand. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Steve in Fall River. What's up, Steve?
How are you, sir?
Good.
I want to talk about a couple of things, but it's about what you're talking about, that Brady will have offers that We can't conceive here because we don't know what it's like to be in these other franchise shoes. Mm-hmm. Now, look at Peyton Manning went to the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Some national radio guy or some national writer made the following comment. He said, when Peyton Manning entered the offices of the Denver Broncos, the entire franchise got better, including the receptionist. Nothing could be a better statement about what Tom Brady will bring. I have to tell you about my knowledge of the Miami Dolphins and the state that they're in versus vis-a-vis the Patriots, all these other top franchises. I go to the games in Miami. I inquired in September about group sales, and I asked for some tickets, and I got a guy on the phone, and he harangued with me back and forth. I decided never to buy. I didn't decide to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hounding me to get on the waiting list for next year. I said, I only want one game. Yeah, we'll take your waiting list. It's $250. Da, da, da. The guy's called me three times. The last time he called me, he started telling me the whole story. They have 60 salespeople there trying to sell tickets. This is the life of 20 of the 32 NFL teams that don't have a quarterback, that don't win very often.
Yeah.
They're out there chasing ghosts like me. I didn't even buy anything. They're hounding me to buy tickets. And guess what? That's happening to right now to, like you said, to this guy, Davis. He's got an unknown of an unknown with no fan base.
It well, I mean, to the Raiders, Steve, to the Raiders'
to
point,
the Raiders,
though, they are selling tickets.
All right, but they'll do better. They'll
no,
sell
I agree. I agree. And Mark
anybody
Davis
that's underselling, there's 20 teams
right.
that can use him. Anybody that's underselling, if he went to Miami, guess what? Those phones would light up.
Well, and Steve, the other thing is this, too. Like, we look at it as the Patriots, as it's Super Bowl or bust every year. Not every organization in the NFL looks at it this way because these owners are trying to make money as well, and getting Tom Brady is going to bring in big money for your organization in terms of merchandise, ticket sales, all that stuff.
And you're going to have operationally better on the field. You made a faux pas. You said Tom Brady had it down yet. Tom Brady didn't have it down yet.
Yeah, he did.
The people around Tom Brady had it down
okay,
yet.
Steve, there and are so many throws that Brady's made in previous years that he didn't make this year. It's tough to argue that he didn't have a down year.
Well, I'll give you three plays to make my point. Three plays. The last game he played, he threw a ball that went off of Ben Watson's hands and almost got intercepted. The very next play, he threw out an out to N'Keal Harry, who almost fell when he was breaking to the sidelines.
Yeah, okay, Steve. Look, Steve.
Wait a minute. Wait. Give me the third one.
Yeah, give me the last one.
He threw a bullet down the left hash to, I think it was Ben Watson, about 29 yards to about seven different hands. Those are the three plays that you have to realize. He still has it. If people can catch the ball, the first two plays, an example they couldn't, that it's all you need to know about him. He can
yeah,
make
all right,
the throws,
Steve. And look, I appreciate the
ball.
I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the defense of Brady there. But there's a couple of other things. Okay, so you can point. I'm not saying that he had good weapons or an offensive line. I went through the first 20 minutes of the show talking about that. Brady didn't have the proper help around him. But to just point out those plays and not point to other plays, like he threw an interception on a wheel route against the Redskins. He threw an interception in the end zone against the Bills in the first meeting, one of the worst games I've ever seen Tom Brady play. So it wasn't just the receivers weren't good. It wasn't just the offensive line wasn't good. Brady wasn't the same player this year that he's been in previous seasons. Now, is he still good enough to win at a high level? I still believe he is. And I still believe he does enough to win, but he isn't the same player that he was a couple of years ago, even in 2017, his MVP year. He doesn't look like the same player. He doesn't. That's the reality of the situation. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on this, what do you want to see Tom Brady do this offseason? Is there anything Brady could do that would piss you off? Also, I mentioned the Patriots have some issues in terms of the future. One other thing that really sticks out to me I want to get into that has me worried, and could Jimmy G be the reason that the Niners lose the Super Bowl? I'll get into all that. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.